that we've actually shared the rest of the year. But I just felt that it was important that we get back to a few things, and that we get to a place where we can just get a bigger picture of what God is busy speaking to us about. It's amazing God is speaking to us, is it not so?
Amen.
The most precious thing is when God speaks. Okay, if God does not speak, then we have problems. So praise God that He is speaking to us as a congregation, and that He was so faithful this year in giving us a lot of revelation of where He's at, and confirmed it so many times. And I'm so glad that you've mentioned this building, and you know, so many other things. Just this week, the three of us, the pastors, we just went through a lot of the stuff that happened through the year to prepare for sorry, for the AGM. And we realized a lot has happened. A lot of things has happened, and God was so faithful in preparing our hearts toward those things so that we can receive. So thanks for your contribution and your hard work and your labor in the kingdom. I want to just this morning speak about a few things. I think there's a few mountains that we must climb still before we get to the big harvest. I was so blessed by that article that you've sent me of Sterenberger, right? I believe one of the fathers really in this nation. I think he planted 1,500 churches already, the New Frontiers, and it's New Frontiers. Amazing churches. I'm very blessed by you know what they represent. Amazing stuff that that has happened in their ministry. But you know, I was so blessed by an older man, you know, in the ministry, speaking in this nation and talking about revival, and just the fact that we must get back to have that conversation. And he mentioned that, yeah, in the 80s, 90s, you know, there was, well, toward the end of the previous century, there was a lot of things happening, and beautiful revival things that happened. Now, I think if we talk about revival, normally, you know, we think about a set of or a few evangelistic crusades that happens and people get saved. And that is what normally what we associate revival with. Is it not so? Okay, we think about masses and masses of people getting saved. And that is so, but I think it's an outflow of something much bigger. And that is the manifest presence of God in communities. And, you know, when revival really happens, it's transforming not just the church, and it always comes to the church first. Can we just agree on that?
Amen.
God loves His body, and He comes back to His body to present Himself. Okay, so that's why we love the body. We believe in the body. We believe in people, even though people will fail us. We can't stop believing that God uses people and that He loves people, and that's why we exist. Is it not so? Because Jesus could stay in heaven, and He could have stayed in heaven and have a very nice time with His Father, but He decided to lay down His life for
people.
Okay, there's one person that's at least awake this morning. Okay, let the heat not make you to slumber this morning. Okay, there's a few things that I really want you to understand, and I believe if I am just listening to the fathers in the faith, then I really believe we are on the verge of seeing beautiful things happening to this country. You know, one of the reasons why I came certainly was because I believe there's a flow that God is busy creating in this nation that He's going to come bring to fulfillment. And I'm excited about it, and I'm praying into it every day, because I'm trusting God for the signs of revival, of which salvation is just one of them. Are we okay? Restoration and amazing power gifts happening is part of it. Okay, are we with it? Why? Because God wants to be glorified. Okay, and that's why we exist. Your main reason for existence is to glorify God. And so if we have that conversation this morning, I also want to say to you, if God's purpose is to be glorified on this earth, and our purpose is to glorify Him, to who do we glorify Him? Because if you don't have somebody that values glory, Why do we have the glory of God? Okay? Are you with me this morning? Because I think we miss the point many times in the church. We think it's about my well-being and the fact that God is going to change and transform my life. But the fact is, to glorify God looks a lot different than we many times think. And revival looks a lot different than we many times think. It's actually a messy affair. And I want to talk about it this morning. Because I believe there's five mountains that we will have to climb in order to get to the revival part of what God wants to do. And His manifest presence to be all over. And I'm telling you, I'm so excited because I know when it happens to the church, it's going to happen in the community. And we're going to see lots of people getting saved because of God's presence. Okay? And people will fall on their knees. And as I read that article, thanks, David. You know, it was really blessed just to hear again people like even Roberts and so many others in the past in this nation that lay down their lives to go and open the wells, you know, of salvation and the presence of God. And let's get to the five quickly. The first one is, I want to ask you this morning, are we really serious about the mandate that God has given us? So I've mentioned it in this church, and I want to just, for the sake of the Guildford people, mention it again. You know, for us as a congregation, it's so important to get to the understanding, why do we exist as Shofar Christian Church, London? Okay, let's just see if some of the Wimbledon people were actually listening. Why do we exist? If somebody in the street asked you, why do we exist? What would you answer them? Why another church? Okay, why Shofar Church in London? Why don't we just go with all the other churches that is in the city and, you know, not have a Shofar Church? Okay, that's okay, you've listened. You may not answer the next one then. The gospel needs preaching. That's amazing. Okay.
Because there's still people who are desperate for the presence of God.
Amen. Okay, you're all on the same point. The second one. Sorry.
So I was saying, good people pray to relate this to come.
Yes, that's all.
Amen. I think it's part of the same one. But what I can say this morning, the second one, we've got a mandate from God to be here. God has spoken to us, and He has mandated us to be part of His body, and we're not the only body, but we are part of His body, and we are fulfilling that which God is busy doing. Now, I'm telling you, this is not our agenda, this is not... you know, what you and I can actually fulfill, this is God's agenda. And God has a plan, and He's waiting for those who are willing to partner with them in fulfilling that mandate. So my question to you this morning is, are we really serious about this mandate that God has given us? Now, you know, I know such a story in the Bible of Abram and his wife, Sarah. And they were waiting for the promise of God to happen in their lives. A mandate given to them that they would be the father and mother of God's holy people. And so after 80 plus, well, they were already in their 90s, yeah? Almost 100 years old, the angels of God came back to them to pronounce or to announce that they actually would get the child that was promised to them. Listen to Genesis 17:17. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And then listen to chapter 18:12. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abram, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child? Now that I am old, is anything, are you with me?
Amen.
Okay. Okay, there's at least two that's awake this morning. Is anything...
Is anything...
is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, you know what the beautiful part of that story is? We know that both of them laughed. And the other thing is that they had to give up the Isaac, the promise. Now, this is our challenge. Is with that mandate comes a very hard sacrifice. Because what we normally do with a mandate, we start to make it our own. While it's God's. And the biggest challenge that God brings to Abram is, Abram, are you willing to lay down your Isaac so that we can have the conversation? That I am the provider. That I am the one that made the promise. And if I said so, I will bring it to pass. And let me tell you, I've so often seen ministries and people of God going to the extent where they start to take the glory for themselves. And they miss that God is actually the source of the mandate that is given. And so this morning I want to say to you, I'm so excited about this mandate, not because one of us has the ability to fulfill it. So let's just settle that this morning. But God is in this. God has a plan for Shofar London and for whatever He's doing in and through our lives. And I'm excited about the presence of God being manifested through us. Now, we know the story. Then God brought the ram in the thicket. He provided. And then, you know what's beautiful to me is actually what happened in Isaac's life. When his father Abraham died, Genesis 26, verse 18, it says, and Isaac dug again the wells of water that had been dug in the days of Abraham, his father, which the Philistines had stopped after the death of Abraham. And he had gave them the names that the father, his father had given them. I get emotional about it, but you know why? Because I know that there's many before us. There's an amazing legacy that God is giving us as Christians to tap into. A promise and a mandate that He has already created. It's not as if we must have a wonderful moment on the toilet this morning, you know, when we worship God, you know, while relaxing. Okay. You don't do that. Sometimes I get revelations on the toilet. This bad pastor again. A simple pastor.
Deep
stuff.
Amen.
It's not as if you and I come to a place where we need those awe moments with God, and now, you know, because we've been very creative, God is pitching and we see things coming to fruition. That's not how it happens. God has planned this thing thousands of years already. He's got a plan for England. He's got a plan for your community long before you ever existed. The privilege is ours to get into that mandate and to tap into God's promise and plans being there for a thousand generations. And you know what? For me and you, that means that we need to go and ask God what He has done before and is going to do in this nation and tap into the wells of the mandate that God has given us. And as we do so, we see the presence of God and the blessing of God. The second thing, give beyond yourselves. Maybe before I get to the gift part, I just want to mention, you know, next year, I've said to the two pastors, we're going to actually go and dug up some wells. We're going to really trust God to go and pray at specific areas in the UK where, you know, beautiful things happened in the past with men of God that did precious things in this nation. And we're going to go and pray there. Just to walk the ground and to trust God to reveal Himself to us. Okay? So be prepared. We'll still speak to you about it. But I really believe God wants us to tap in the endless worlds that he's already created in this nation. The second one, give beyond yourself, a culture of giving. Now, we've spoken about this even at Planted, and I want to just say to you guys, you cannot give if you don't receive. Okay, there's a place where you and I must receive from God first, and out of the overflow, as we spoke at Planted, you know, God starts to manifest himself to people in and around us. Okay? That's the principle, the one of overflowing. Now, you know, for me, the beauty of this is that if we really want to receive from God, we must give. Because you will not receive if you don't give first. Is it not so that when you and I give, it's better to give than to receive? But there's a place of sacrifice where you and I enter into, in giving and having a lifestyle. I'm not talking about a once-off giving. There's a lot of sacrifice that you and I bring to the Lord. But you know what? Many times we make that gift also our own, where our contribution becomes so important that we think that the Lord's work will fall to pieces because our contribution is not made. And sometimes we exalt ourselves and our own contribution so much that we forget that God can do it without us. Mm. And a culture of thanksgiving, a culture of giving, brings us to a place where we start to give beyond ourselves. And I think David did mention it a few weeks ago. But yeah, in the congregations in London, I want to trust God to really give toward causes like Prochorus and Kidwick Kids and the NGOs that we are supporting, for the reason of us getting into a culture of giving beyond ourselves. Because I can tell you, as soon as you start to give beyond yourself, you start to receive from God. We want to go to the nations. We must first learn to get beyond ourselves, even in this congregation, and start to get to a place where we become givers of what God is doing in our lives. Now, I've seen this so many times that we often forget that there's many others that give as well. And because we make that gifting, that it becomes our own, we start to exalt ourselves above other people. You know, I want to say to you this morning, a lifestyle of giving also is important to understand in terms of who brings what contribution into God's house. Now, I've seen this over and over, that we miss God many times. And I love that parable of the people that came for the wages after a day's work. Mm-hmm. Some came 9 o'clock in the morning, some came 10 o'clock, some came 12. You know, the problem was that those who started at 9 could not understand that they would get the same than those who started at 5 o'clock, just before, you know, the wages was given. Now, I've seen this many times in the church, that we forget that there's certain seasons we serve, and yet our contribution is just part of what God is busy doing, and it's not the contribution. And so one of the mountains that I believe God wants us to overcome is the one where we start to measure ourselves according to the sacrifice that we've given. And many will come into this congregation, and I'm promising you, I'm preparing you for what God is going to do. When revival really happens, it's a messy affair. People will come into this congregation and they will even jump beyond your spiritual growth in a week's time.
Amen.
Are you with me? I'm preparing you for revival. I'm telling you this morning, we as the church many times can't receive revival because we're so fascinated about our giving that we forget that God can do whatever he wants We must just be faithful with the little that we receive. And so there's a problem with Martha. Because Martha is busy measuring herself with Mary, whilst God says, that's a problem for me. Because Martha, you should not measure yourself with Mary at all. You should be content in that which I've called you to do. And so I want to say to you this morning, for me, getting over this mountain means that we will have to stop counting our sacrifices and even the amount that we've given and just be obedient because we can see God's hand moving. And I'm so blessed with this congregation. I know that you guys are faithfully giving beyond yourselves and you are laying down your lives. But let it be a culture that we embrace, that we already now say to ourselves, must be always in this church. One way we always, you know, prevent from being the eldest brother. You know, the one that knows everything. But our doors will always be open, not to be exclusive, but inclusive for anyone that wants to enter this door. Are you with me this morning? I love what's happening. You know, God is busy sending us people. Now, I'm just allowing myself to have moments with God. How do we treat the people that God is sending? Because that is a measurement of our hearts. Are we people that understand what giving is all about? Are we people that understand the goodness of God is out of a heart of overflowing gratitude? Understanding that it's by the mercy of God that I am where I am. And because of that, I get excited about anyone that God sends. Doesn't matter how rough the diamond, doesn't matter what is happening in their lives. Are you with me this morning? Guys, we must start to celebrate people for who they are, not for what they are not. Are you with me? Because one of the things that I see within the culture that we are living in is that you must fit this box, you must fit this arrangement, you must fit the process in order to get to a place where you will be accepted by society. May that not be said of the church. May we be the people that understand giving and a giving culture as one where we give sacrificially, doesn't matter what the cost. Because we are just so grateful of what God has done in our lives. Amen. Number three, embracing the heart of the Father. Now I want to quickly, I don't have the scripture there, but if you have a Bible, just quickly turn with me because I see I've missed that scripture. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. I'm laying down some mountain principles for us for the next few months. I really believe God is going to work at our hearts. Maybe it's just mine. Then it's also fine. Then I will I'll be the one to struggle this one through with God. But I want to believe that God is speaking to all of us. Verse 37. Matthew 23, verse 37. Listen, this is, you must just picture this now. This is Jesus standing at the edge of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more, till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, I love this scripture. You know what it represents? The heart of the Father. The one that extends his love to a city like Jerusalem and saying that, I so want you to receive me. I so want you to experience my heart for you. Jerusalem, I've got the answer for you. London, I've got the answer for you. I'm crying over you. The UK, I'm crying over you. My heart's desire is for you to come closer. And so, to the frustration of many people in the time that Jesus lived, Jesus did not meet their expectations. Because it's through the down and out that Jesus is busy ministering. It's through imperfectness that Jesus is actually reaching the Jews. And I want to say to you, there was lots of people with good education in the time of Jesus. It was probably one of the nations that was best educated, except for the Roman Empire, of which they also were part of. And yet, despite all of that, Jesus would come and show the opposite as true. That he would come down as a person that would be born in a little manger, that will sit on a donkey. And I can tell you, ask any mother that needs to nurture a child with imperfectness. The patience that is necessary, and also the character forming that happens through it. You know, I can tell you this morning that I think that many times we as the church want things to be so perfect that we miss the heartbeat of the Father. That God is using the imperfectness of this world and the broken things of this world to make a statement. And that's why God would allow us to rather sit in a building like this. You know, with, and I'm very grateful for this place. Please don't understand me wrong here. But this is definitely not the best of London. But I can tell you, God would rather let us here so that we can worship Him with the right hearts than having the nicest building on the shard or wherever, so that we miss the point. God uses the broken things of this world to teach us lessons. And I want to say to you, the heart of the Father is for us to understand that He's going to send us many broken people. Many people that will not fit even our description of nice disciples. I'm excited about it. And I'm telling you, they're going to shake the church's cage a lot, so that we can come to the understanding of the heartbeat of the Father. The Father is including everyone that needs to receive. And so there's a progression, and I want us to notice that there's a progression in people's lives. And if we're not patient with raising up disciples from being very messy to a place where they can really become the leaders that God has called us to, we're going to miss the point. Number four, fear God more than our circumstances. We take our eyes off Jesus and focus on our own ability rather than on God's ability in our lives. Mark 6, verse 3 to 5. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and on not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. So, the fourth mountain for us is the one where we need to fear God more than our circumstances. And I want to say to you, the challenge that we have is that we so many times are not willing to give God the glory and honor due to Him, that we find it difficult to actually make Him the main attraction in our lives. I've seen this in the society that we are living in, and I don't think this is only the UK, I think it's worldwide, we are belittling more and more religion so that we get to a place where we as humans look better, that we look like the exalted ones, the ones that can bring the solutions. And so Mark 6 verse 7 to 11, listen to this. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. You know, I so wish that the power of God and the understanding of God, who God really is, will come back to the church. You know, Jesus sends out the disciples two by two, and there's a very good reason for that. But then he says to them, I give you power to rule in the sphere of influence that I'm giving you. And you must make sure that you use that power, that you wield that authority. And if people don't receive it, know that they've actually rejected me. And so I love what happened this week at small group when Phil is not here this morning. No, he's not here. Was just encouraging people like Edward and others in the small group and saying, listen, don't underestimate the seeds that you've sown in the workplace. Those many hours that you've prayed for colleagues, just because you don't see the immediate fruit, don't think that there's not seeds sown. Somewhere, those seeds start to become enough to germinate. We don't know when and where and how it's going to happen, but let's be faithful to sow seeds as far as we can and as many as we can, so that the chance for germinating would become more. Are you with me this morning?
Amen.
The power of God. You know, I'm trusting God and I'm asking God this question over and over. Why do we have church and we don't see people getting healed every Sunday? I want to see the power of God being manifested, because I serve a God that is all powerful.
Amen.
Thanks, David, for being faithful this morning. May many of us get into the same place. Let's trust God to really manifest himself to the extent where God's power and his anointing can break yokes in and through our lives. Authority through unity. Number 5. John 17, verse 20 to 22. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Okay, so this is Jesus praying, and Jesus is asking that God the Father will not just be with those who preach, those who give the word, but also to those who receive them.
Mm.
Are you with me this morning? Listen to the rest. That they might all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that I have given, that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So what will carry the message to the world? His glory. His revealed greatness. And then for those who are one. Those who get to the understanding that as we share the gospel, it's not just good enough that you and I receive it, but that we duplicate that in whosoever will be receiving it. The biggest challenge for the church until Jesus comes back is the one of unity. I can just see that if God wants to do the mighty manifestations of His outpouring and His Holy Spirit, a few things must change within the understanding of what unity looks like. Are you with me this morning? Because I can tell you, this is not a new thing. Paul had the same quarrel about the Corinth church. Listen to this scripture. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18 to 19. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there's divisions among you, and I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. Listen to that last part. Paul is even saying, those who are genuine among you may be recognized. Who is genuine? Who is genuine in the scripture? Those who are fighting for the unity of the church. Now, I want to just say to you this morning, I do believe that God is bringing us to the understanding of what it means to get into the Haggai times, where the former glory will be greater, the latter glory will be greater than the former glory. Now, I still believe that we have not seen that until today. The manifestation and the greatness of God is still in its fullness about to happen. Are you with me this morning? Do you agree with me? Because that's important. It's not happened yet. There was glimpses of this, and even in the ex-church, we saw glimpses of this. But yet, the full fulfillment of the latter part of history, where God really manifests Himself and His presence, will come when the church understands how to be united and to come to a place where the Holy Spirit's outpouring can happen. Now, I want to say to you, there's a reason why 380 people came together and saw Jesus, and only 120 got into the upper room. Because even in unity and reaching critical mass, God needs to divide in order to bring unity. Are you with me this morning? And I think we've got a false understanding of what unity really means in the body. We think it's to accommodate all. Is that not so? Everyone must have their say and their understanding. But yet, I want to say to you this morning, if we really want to see the manifest presence of God and climb this mountain, it's not about accommodating all. Because Paul is very clear about it, that he says that make sure to exalt those who fight for the unity of the church. But also make sure to expose those who are coming against it. And so there's a reason why Achan and so many others in the Bible would actually be made a spectacle before people, so that God's people will understand that God loves His church and He is very committed to keep it united and focused on Him being revealed on this earth. And so as soon as we, and this is the difficult one of the five, and I want to say to you, the challenge is that we would come to be united within what the Word of God says. Is it not so?
Amen. Amen.
To live in obedience according to God's Word. But do you know that this is probably the most difficult one of the five that I've mentioned? Because if I look at history and I look at Israel was at its best. It was unified under the vision of God. Wow. And they would be unified according to God's obedience. They would march around Jericho because of obedience. They would see supernatural things happen. Are you with me?
Yes.
This means an understanding of the truth, but also embracing the truth in such a way that we will in heart know what God is saying to us in obedience, and we will follow in obedience God's word to fulfill his mandate in the community that we are serving. And we're going to see mighty things when that happens. And one of the biggest things that I see in the church today is the one that Paul had a conversation with the Corinth church about. Let there not be a division among you about the word of God and about the truth. And there's a lot of leaven that has entered the church, and I'm talking about the universal church. I'm not talking just about our church, and I'm not excluding our church. But there's a lot of worldly stuff that has taken us over, and we think, and I've been a few centuries now, luckily not centuries, a few decades involved in the church, and it's strange to see how the flows work in church circles. It's now the Pentecost movement, then it's the, well, I first even started in South Africa in the traditional church, and it was actually a beautiful time in the history of our country, where even in the traditional church you would really have the presence of God. Beautiful things. I've been in traditional churches that had the presence of God more than any charismatic church. I've seen Pentecostal churches that was amazing, having the Holy Spirit but missing God altogether. Having the most amazing bands, and I've been around for a while. I gave my heart at the age of 7 to the Lord, and I remember my parents were so devoted to God. We had to pack our chairs in our house to have house church, because at that stage, you know, they were kicked out of the traditional church because they got baptized. I remember as a small child working through those things and looking at the church and trying to figure out what's happening here. You know, why would my parents, all my friends, you know, are sitting in the traditional church. Why are we not in the traditional church anymore? I've seen it all. But what I can tell you, the solution does not lie in the next movement. Because I'm telling you, I'm seeing in the church the next movement is going to come. And we're going to think that that is the solution. Again, we're going to think that, you know, when the guitar changes, or, you know, maybe tomorrow we start going back to the orchestra again, okay, I don't know, or the organ, you know, maybe that will be the next blessed thing. But we are putting our hope in the wrong things. We as a church of God are missing what God is all about. Because I've seen the 100 days of miracles, I've seen the 51 reasons for living. I've seen all of those courses, and none of them has changed my life as being in the presence of God. And yet the church is still missing the point. But you know what is even more difficult? Is to translate your individual experience into the understanding that God is a corporate God. That he loves his people so much, and it would bring us to a place where we understand that whenever we can agree and be in full agreement upon that which God wants to do, we will be able to do anything, because God wants to reach this community. Do we agree?
Amen.
God wants to manifest himself. Do you agree? So let's trust God to unite our hearts to reach the kind of critical mass that will reach the nations. I desire that. And I would hope that each one of us will get to the understanding that as we press into it together, God will give us the answers. There's many mountains that we're going to climb. There's many things that we must get right in the next few months. I believe God is really speeding up this process. I can see what God is expecting of us. I can see that it's challenging, I can see that it's for me difficult to even reach out to a homeless person. I don't have the answers. It's not because I don't have a heart, so don't judge me. But I do know that God is creating that heart within me. I'm concerned about so many people that are wealthy that are sitting in homes all alone. And some of them even die in their loneliness. And yet they never discover the name of Jesus. I want to plead to you this morning. Stop thinking that we are so smart, and I'm saying it to myself as well. Let's discover God's promises together and realize that none of us have the answers. You know, I'm freaked out actually when people come to me these days and say, yeah, you're only here for what, 5 months? Can we just have a conversation about you don't know Britain, you don't... I know humans very well, and I can tell you there's nothing different here within human lives than what is happening in South Africa. The people that we are serving here is as human as I've seen. And this gospel is to everyone. I love what God is going to do in our hearts the next while. In changing and transforming our hearts to see the need for what it is. Let's stop having the battle about what is British, what is whatever. I love this nation, so relax. I love this nation too, but I love being here, and I know that I must be here. But I'm saying to you, there's too many obstacles that we are allowing to block us in fulfilling the greatest thing that God wants to do in our midst. That is to bind our hearts, not to any culture, but to a Christ culture. Which means that all of us are going to sacrifice, we're going to lay down our lives, and we're going to say, God, please come, we need you desperately. Because we don't have the answers. Let's stand quickly. You know, I know that these last things that Jesus has said to his disciples was, and the prayer that he prayed toward his Father to unite them by heart. I know that God is going to do beautiful things in knitting our hearts together and fulfill God's promises in and through our lives. My challenge to all of us this morning is, are we ready to receive his thanks, David? David is always the one that remembers everything. I've said it before, and I'm saying it again this morning. I don't have the answers. You know, sometimes you come to me and you say, Pastor, what do you think? Well, I don't want to think. I want to pray, and I want you to pray, and let's pray together and find the answers. Because there's obvious answers, yes. But guess what? Is those obvious solutions bringing us at this stage? Nowhere. Because if we cannot learn to be in the presence of God and to go out of that overflow into a place of obedience, to knit our hearts together and to fulfill the mandate that God has given us. And I tell you, I know that I've got a mandate from God. I know where God is heading with us, and I can see it. I've seen it before, and I can see it again. Beautiful things are about to happen if we can set our minds to it. But we've got all this amazing, all these amazing ideas. Stop talking and start praying. Stop giving everyone and everything the blame. My God is power. Nothing is too hard for this God. don't come to me again, please do not come to me again and say to me, things work differently in this country. I don't want to hear it. It's fine if you want to help me not to get a traffic ticket, that's fine. You know, that's, that only helps me a lot. I've already got three, so please pray that this thing would release me in Jesus' name. But what I can tell you, guys, I'm not intimidated with the system. I'm not intimidated by all the yes-say things. I'm not intimidated by how culture works here. I'm only intimidated by one thing. I'm intimidated by a God that is serious about this country. He's so serious that he's saying, get over your mountain. I've given you all the grace that's needed. I'm committed. And I know that all of you are committed in your hearts, but I want you to make a shift in a people that are intimidated to a people that can actually walk in the freedom and the promise of God. Are you with me? And it's going to cost you. Can we just settle that before we get into this ride? Are you with me? Can we settle that before we go into this ride? It's going to cost you. Because messy church, I'm not talking about the term messy church, please. I know there's lots of connotations about it. Church that is messy is not nice, okay? It's not always nice to get out of our boxes, out of our routines, out of our comfort zone. But let there not be one opportunity that this church does where we don't expect God to move in our lives. Can we settle that? When we go to do carols, let's trust God to touch people's lives. Is that alright? We're not going to do nice songs. We're going to speak the presence of God. And some of you must go back home today and just write a few proclamations of your home. Just go and put up at your workplace, I will not be defeated in Jesus' name. Maybe you must just go and, you know, quote a scripture and put that scripture of faith against your bathroom mirror so that you can see that thing and speak it over your life. But people, settling for the status quo is not enough. I'm not going to, and I know that you're not going to as well, because God has a promise. I want to cling to that promise. What happened in Abram's life? The same Abram that would laugh about the word of God after God transformed him and gave him his Isaac would be the first to say, God, I can trust you. I can take this son to the mountain because you will be the provider. I can take the next mile. I can take the next step. I can do whatever is necessary. Because I've seen you in action. I dare not sit down and wait for things to happen. I'm going to take what is mine. I'm going to trust God. And I trust all of us. We are going to trust God. To take the mandate that He's given us. To run with it. Call upon the name of the Lord and He will save us. And He will help us to get to the other. To the utter ends of this nation and of the earth. Are you with me this morning? Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. This morning as we take communion, we want to recognize that you are sovereign. You are amazing. Father, you're the one that showed yourself faithful to us so many times. Why will you do any other in the year to come? Father God, we've got an expectation in our hearts that you would bring us to a place of fulfillment in you like never before. Father, we don't want to see signs and wonders for the sake of us and our mighty name and our wonderful church. We want to cry over this community. We want to embrace the Father's heart and cry over this community and say, like a hen gathers its chicks, so your name will be over this nation. And Father, we ask that you will help us to see revival coming, because God, we desperately need it. We know that with revival comes repentance, and Father God, even a humility that goes beyond what is humanly possible. But oh God, we come to you this morning. We ask you, save this nation, not for our sake, but for your name's sake. Oh God, and use us wherever you can. We are desirous this morning to be in your presence and to manifest your presence and your glory to whosoever. We repent, Father God, in thinking that it's only the church, Father God, that should show your glory. And in the workplace, we can do whatever we want. Father, we repent this morning. We say, let your banner be over our workplace. Let it be in our homes. Let it be in our families. And oh God, let it certainly, Father God, go into the communities that we live. I want to pray in Jesus' name, Father God, that as our cup starts to run over, that people on the outside will still be able to see it, and they will feed from it, so that they can see you for who you are. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for the bread this morning. We thank you for the symbolism thereof. The fact that Jesus, you would lay down your life, your body, for your body. And this morning we say that we honor your church. We do not speak negative about your church. We do not speak against your church. Oh God, we repent of the times that we did. We say that we respect this church. And Father God, familiarity breeds contempt. So we realize this morning that we are not going to belittle your church, even though it's messy. It's yours, and you are proud of it, and you are building it. And so this morning, as we eat, we honor your body and we say, Jesus, beautify your church. Bring changes within us so that we can be more inclusive, more ready for the harvest to come, and more transformed. But oh God, thank you that you trust us and that you've given us mandates to rule over spirits, over territorial areas, even for your name's sake. We eat this morning because we love you and we are part of your body. In Jesus' name, let's eat. You will come and make us more holy. Father, there's so much leaven still in our lives. We ask that you will come and remove it. Come and take it away. Because we want to see the holiness of God. We want to come closer. And we ask that you will walk a journey with this church to a place where you will purify us more. And that we will appreciate being cleansed more. Thank you for your blood that washes us, but also binds us to your promises, to your kingdom, and gives us life. In Jesus' name, let's drink together. Let's end off in a song. If you need any prayer this morning, I'm not going to be specific. If the Holy Spirit is talking to you. Guys, this journey is not going to be an easy one. And, one thing I do know is I love what Pastor Fred always says, if you don't sacrifice for something, you will also not value it. I do believe there's a place where, you know, we sacrifice a lot, and some of you might be even are tired or at this stage. Guess what? It's never going to change. When you serve the kingdom, I always thought it's going to get easier the longer I serve God. You know, it's going to become a breeze. God already settled this with me a long time ago. Your capacity is just going to increase. I just want to say to you guys, I don't have good news for you in that regard, but what I do know, it's worth it. It's so blessed to be in the presence of God and to fulfill His promise.